All right, tonight I have Ranahan here with me. How are you, pup? And what I'd like to do is just spend some time. I've had something kind of wandering around in my mind a little bit, and so I thought we would spend some time together taking a look at a very common, very familiar passage of Scripture. And but this is what I've learned as I've continued to walk with the Lord. Sometimes the familiar, we miss the important. Does that make sense? Sometimes in the familiar, we miss the important. And so what we're going to do is we're going to go through the 23rd Psalm, just the first few verses. And they're trying to kill my dog's ears. That's really what they're trying to do. We're getting there. Is it something on me? So, but the way I'd like to do this evening is this. We're going to take a phrase. I'm going to tell you the phrase. We'll talk about it. And then when we move to the next phrase, what I'd like you to do is I'll start you, but then you take that phrase. So, for example, we'll start with the phrase, "The Lord is my shepherd." We're going to talk about it. Then when we move on to the next phrase, you'll say, "The Lord is my shepherd," and then we'll move. That way you guys don't fall asleep on me. Okay, so let's do this. First of all, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." The Lord is my shepherd. All right, now this is going to be a little bit of the 23rd Psalm from the viewpoint of a cattle dog. Okay, so it's going to be a little bit different maybe, but not really. When you guys think of the word shepherd, what do you think about? Just throw out some things to me. Sheep, that's a good one. What else? Jesus, good. Cow, what's that? Big heart, good. Protector. David. Horse. Yeah, all right. Hey, you guys, my dad raises sheep. I grew up on a sheep farm, and so I have kind of a general idea of a shepherd, right? You know, the shepherd provides for the sheep. The shepherd protects the sheep. The shepherd guides the sheep. If the Lord is my shepherd, what does that look like in my life? What does that look like if I am Ranahan's shepherd? I don't know if you guys have noticed, but it doesn't seem to matter where I go, where's his attention? On me. Why? Because I'm his master, right? In fact, why don't we do this, Ranahan Ho? Okay, you stay there. What's your name?
Michael.
Michael. Thank you, Michael. I know that. Michael, can you call Ranahan?
Ranahan.
Okay, good. Now I want you to have Ranahan stay with you.
Ranahan, sit.
Huh. Why? Because you're not his master, right? I'm his master. And so, this is what Ranahan does. This is a strange thing. He's been in here once that I remember for a session that we did, and that was years ago. All right, he's 4. I think he was maybe 2 at the time. I had him in a wheelbarrow. He was really confused then. And so, but the deal is this. He looks to me for directions. He looks for me to say, "Is everything okay? What am I supposed to be doing? I'm really kind of confused. I'm not sure what you want me to do. You're standing here talking. All these people are staring at me. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing." So he looks to me. Here's my question for you tonight. Is the Lord your shepherd? Is God your shepherd? Are you looking to God for the direction in your life? You know what I see? I see a lot of people, including myself at times, wandering aimlessly around. Right? We go this way for a while and, "Oh, I'm not happy this way." So I go this way for a while. "I'm not happy this way. And I'm going to go this way." Why? Because we don't know what we're doing. We don't know the direction we're going. But you guys, if God is our shepherd and we get our direction from him, we live a life of purpose. Now, I don't want to waste too much time because he's doing really good laying down, right? We get to that. So the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So you guys give me the Lord. I shall not want. Do you know that crossed his legs and everything? Well done. I taught him that. No, I didn't. Okay, but here's a sign of a content dog, right? Do you know that it's past his supper time? Okay? It is. He normally eats by now, and he hasn't. But look at this. He's like, oh, I'm okay. Why? Because I'm with my master. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. Some of you may have heard this story. If you have in the past, I apologize. But years ago, I was memorizing the 23rd Psalm with my kids. Actually, I'd memorized it, right, when I was young, but they hadn't. So I'd lay beside them at night, and we would go through the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. And one day, all of a sudden, it went, hello, you're in want. I said, well, man. You see, I had an old truck. It was a truck that if you stood on the one side and you looked at it just right, you could see the daylight right straight through the truck. You know what kind I'm talking about? And then the clutch went out. And so it was, yeah, actually it was a sensor, but anyhow, I had to park it up. I would drive it to work, park it up on the hill up here by this blue house. And then at the end of the day, I would get out and I'd get the run and start, pushing the truck, jump in, pop it in gear, and boom, hopefully it'd start. At home, I live on a hill. The bad days are when it doesn't start before you get to the bottom of the hill. All right, so that's where I was. I wanted a new truck. You know what I mean? In fact, I wanted it so bad it consumed me. It was my life. Honestly, I would drive down the road and I'd see a nice truck for sale and I'd go, oh. My wife would say, watch where you're going. It got to the point, to be honest, that I was ready to sell one of my kids. No, that's not true. Okay, but it really did get to the point that my wife and I were having, Diane and I were having more conflict in our marriage than ever before. And we were at the point we were going to leave Fort Wilderness. Do you know why? I didn't make enough money to buy the truck I wanted. That's the truth. That's not what we were telling ourselves. But that's what it came down to. Until the Lord convicted me of the fact that I was living in want. I wasn't allowing God to be my shepherd. I encourage you tonight to really ask yourself the question, are you living in want? Are you in the position where you're sitting there and you're just consumed by stuff that you want, something? Maybe it's the next greatest phone, right? Man, I watch the guys on staff. Oh, by the way, I'm not one of them. This doesn't make me better than them. See my phone? Yeah. Some people say they still make those. But anyhow, I watched some of the guys on staff, Steve, and they get the newest phone, and they go, oh, this one's better than this one, right? And it's not because they're necessarily in want. I'm not saying that. They're in the technology world. I'm not. But maybe that's what it is for you. Maybe you have to have the latest, greatest. Are you consumed by want? That's my question for you tonight on that. He makes me lie down in green pastures. When a dog lays down, there's a couple things that's going on. One of them, he is showing trust. Why? Because if he was afraid, what does he do? Hey! He doesn't jump well. You're a goofball. Okay, good for you. But here's the thing. If the dog is afraid that something's going to hurt him, what is he going to be doing? He's going to jump up. He may bark. He may run away. He may become aggressive to protect himself, right? Yep, and sometimes they might actually bite if they're actually scared. Not because they're mean, but they're afraid that something's going to hurt them. He's pretty content. Here's the deal. Part of him laying down is obedience. When I tell him to lay down, he needs to lay down. That's what I expect of him. Here's my question for you. When the Lord leads you to places that are good, and says, stay and relax, are you obedient or are you looking for the greener pasture on the other side of the fence? Okay, the Lord is my shepherd. Here we go. With me, you guys. Ready? 1, 2, 3. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Come on. Here's something that really struck me this year. When I lead him, where am I? I'm in front of him. You're right. Good boy. You're good. He says you turned around fast. That sometimes means I'm not supposed to be following you. When I lead the dog, I'm in front of him. Here's one of the things. Come on up. Down. Here's one of the things that I realized this year. I was reading in Genesis chapter 24, and you guys are familiar with Genesis chapter 24, right? It's where Abraham sends his servant to get a wife for his son Isaac. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I'm glad we don't do it that way today. Aren't you? Yeah. Okay, anyhow, because I know who my parents would have picked. Just saying. Okay, and I am thrilled that we don't do it that way. But here's what happens. Abraham sends his servant to go get a wife. And the servant says, what if she doesn't come? How do I know? And this is what Abraham says. The Lord will send his angel before you. And I went, huh, does God do that for me? Sometimes I wondered. So then I'm reading in Deuteronomy chapter 31, and Moses is about to be done being the leader of the children of Israel, and he looks to Joshua, and he says, Joshua, you're the next. And this is what he says. Then Moses tells Joshua, the Lord is the one who goes before you. And I went, does God do that for me? Or is that just for Joshua? Was that just for Abraham's servant? And then I read the 23rd Psalm, and it says, he leads me beside the still waters. If God is leading me, what is he doing? He's going before me. I'd like to tell you tonight, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, God is going before you. I don't know what's on your schedule this next week, this next year as we turn this corner, but I got a feeling there's some big things. There's probably some scary things. And I want to tell you that God is going before you. Isn't that exciting? It's exciting to me to know that my God goes before me. But there is something else that has to happen here, right? When I am leading the dog, he has a choice, doesn't he? His choice is to follow. I wanted to say that. See, he's making a decision. He says, I know which way food is, and it's not up there. I already checked it out. Come on. He has to make the decision to follow. You guys, I wanted to say that because if you think that you can just go wherever you want and God has to go before you and pave the way, that's not what following Christ is about. Right? It's not, Jesus, let's go do what I want to do. It's about me saying, God, I am going to follow you. Wherever you lead, I will follow. Sometimes that's hard. A lot of times that's hard. I want to encourage you to follow. As we continue in the 23rd Psalm, let's do it again. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. We're going to skip that for a second because then it goes back and it talks about leading. He leads me in paths of righteousness. That's the secret to God's leading. How do I know if God's leading in this? Is this a path of righteousness? Is this a direction? Is this something that's going to bring glory to Jesus Christ? Or is this something that I want? Right? You see the polar opposites? The difference of myself, my flesh leading? Because sometimes Jonathan can convince himself that God's leading in a direction that I want to. And I have to take the time and I have to ask the question, is this leading in paths of righteousness for his name's sake, for God's glory? So again, the question comes up, are you following as God leads in your life? Are you walking in those paths of righteousness? Now let's jump back to he restores my soul, because this is so good. We had a young man... Young man, he's the same age as me, so he must be young, right, Ron? And so he was younger at the time. His name was Andrew Johnson. He's a kid who grew up in the area. He served on staff for a while, and then he's a pastor in Iowa, and he came back to speak to a group, and I sat in one of his sessions, and he took this word, revive, and he compared it to CPR. This is what God does for our soul. He does CPR on our souls. I got a feeling tonight that some of us have souls that are barely hanging in there. The world has crashed around us. Life isn't turning out the way we thought it would. I'm disappointed. And you have the need for somebody to do CPR on your soul. That's what God does. God does CPR on your soul. What does CPR do? It gives life. God speaks life to your soul. But how does that happen? You guys, I wish you could just answer that real easy. There's lots of different ways, but he does it. But the word of God is God breathed, right? Isn't that what it tells us in Timothy? It's God breathed. One of the ways that God revives our soul is when we spend time in the Word of God, he speaks life into us. Oh, we need that so desperately. I need it so desperately. Some of you may be listening tonight, and you may not quite get the whole thing, just to be honest. You're kind of going, the Lord is not my shepherd. I don't follow him. He doesn't lead me. And I've never felt or noticed him revive my soul. And I was thinking about that a little bit, and I just think there's a couple things I wanted to share. One is if the Lord is not your shepherd, I have to ask you the question, have you ever professed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? You see, for Ranahan to have me be his master, he had to make a choice. Now, it wasn't like this dog sat here and went, well, should I go with this person or should I go with this person, right? That's not how he works. But you and I have to make the decision, who is Lord of your life? And most of the time, the decision comes down to two, you or God, right? That's generally what it boils down to. And the question is, have you chosen to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says this, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. You know what? I believe this. I can't do CPR on your soul. I could jump up and down on you and it wouldn't do you any good. It is God who does CPR to our soul, for our souls. And here's what happens. If you have the Spirit of God moving in you and you're going, you know what? I just know that I need Jesus. I need this Lord to be my shepherd. I want to encourage you to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. It's by faith that we make God our master, our shepherd. I'd love to spend some time talking with you about that tonight if you have not done that. But here's the other side of it. I think there's people who have professed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, but they aren't following. You know what I mean? They said, yes, I accept Jesus. Some of them, it's because they don't, you know, it's fire insurance. I don't like the other alternative. I'm going to do this. But for some, they've professed, and then things came into their life that they didn't expect. And they didn't feel like God was leading in the way that they wanted to go. And so they turned their way from following God, and they're blazing their life, their own path. And they're just not happy. Chad talked about peace this morning. If you would look at your life and say, I don't have peace, I ask the question, are you following Christ? Is the Lord truly your shepherd? Because you know when he's the most anxious? When I'm not around. when I'm off wandering around and he's someplace strange. To be honest, this is the easiest dog we've ever had. So easy. So good. He hates to travel. He does. We go to my folks' house and he stands outside the door and whines because I'm not with him and we're not home. My folks come to my house and he'll lay on their feet. Are you in a place where Jesus Christ is your Lord and you are choosing to follow him no matter what? Those are some thoughts tonight from the 23rd Psalm. And I just want to close in prayer. And after I pray, you guys, I'm going to hang out here for a little while as you go about your evening. But anyhow, just for a little while, if you would like to come chat with me, with any of the staff here, we would love to spend some time talking with you, sharing with you about how to make Jesus Christ Lord of your life, or any other questions you may have. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for your great love for us. Thank you for your word. Oh God, help us to submit ourselves to you. Help us to follow you, our shepherd. Lord, help us to trust you as you ask us to lay down in green pastures. Help us to follow you as you lead us beside the still waters and in paths of righteousness. For you are the one who gets glory by that, Lord. And Lord, I desperately pray that you revive our soul. Because, Lord, we so, so desperately need you. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.